Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. This morning I asked the children, I've started with Christ is risen, and they all just looked at me. And then I said, Christ is risen, and the congregation in a very Lutheran way said, He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And I asked again, Christ is risen. And then they finally woke up. What, I asked the children, is Easter? And one of the little girls said, it's Easter. But what does it mean? Nothing. Just sort of, I have no idea. In a way, that's a fitting start to Easter, because so often we hear the Easter message, we experience it with a kind of, well, here we go again. We know the story, we know what's going to happen. We understand that this thing has occurred, that Jesus died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, and he rose from the dead. We understand it conceptually. We might understand it theologically. But it's occurred to me that we may miss something. We may miss that this act of God in the world is for you. I don't often talk about Martin Luther on Easter because it's sort of depressing. But I have to say, in his explanation about the Lord's Prayer and the Eucharist, he kind of realized that the whole first part of his life had been spent worrying about how God disliked him and how he was completely and utterly unworthy of the love of God. And he could not accept who God was for him until his father confessor said to him, Luther, it's for you. This thing that God has done is for you. So when he wrote the large catechism, he said, when you come and you receive communion, and the minister says, this is the body of Christ broken for you. It's a particular, personal invitation to love. It's for you. The same is true with our Easter proclamation. We get it. We get it from a general kind of way. We have, when we were in seminary, something called general theological principles. Well, I've come to learn in both theology and politics. You know, I was watching the news this morning. They were talking about the Mueller report. And they were saying, well, generally, this applies. And the same is true in general theological principles. We generally believe in the concept of grace, which means we don't believe in it. If we believe in it generally, we don't believe in it at all. What happened on Easter morning is not a general theological principle. It is the personal, individual invitation and proclamation of love to you. It's for you. I think maybe that's what we forget sometimes when we come to these great and wonderful holidays like Christmas and Easter. We miss the for you-ness of it. Yes, it's for everybody, but you know how it works when there's a general invitation and you say, oh, everybody's invited. What do you get to say? Yeah, but I don't have to go. You know what's harder if I say, Jean-Paul, I'd like to invite you to my home for dinner.
Thank you.
What do you say? You know, no. Or as one of my teenage confirmation students would have said years ago, are we having vegetarian? I think the same is true when we make this proclamation of love, that God so loved the world that God gave his only son to die for us. It just seems like a general sort of thing that God may have done, but we miss the for you-ness of it. We could stop right there and just say, you know what? This love of God, this deep and wonderful and powerful and all-encompassing and unqualified grace of God has been poured out on the world. And then we could just go home and go, yeah, that was awesome. It's for me. But it doesn't stop there. It's God so loved you so that. That's the second part we maybe miss. There's a so that to it. Luther talked about the transformational quality of the gospel. That it just doesn't get poured out so that we can remain the same, but so that we can be something different. Someone different. Luther was so obsessed with his unworthiness that he found himself paralyzed. He could do no good in the world because he was so busy trying to make sure his relationship with God looked right, which in his view meant he needed to punish himself every 15 minutes for something he may or may not have done. And Luther was not a particularly bad guy. As a matter of fact, as I've shared for you before, his father confessor once said to him, Luther, I have heard you confess for hundreds and hundreds of hours and I've not heard you say anything remotely interesting. We are liberated in Christ by that for you, so that we no longer need to be focused on ourselves. You can rest assured that in this rising of Christ from the grave, that the tomb was empty and the love of God was made complete for you. So that you can share it with others. You no longer need to be obsessed with yourself and your own salvation. You should all be going, hallelujah! But you're like, really? No, that part's all done. It's all good. So that you now can concentrate on your neighbor. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the generalities of religion, in the theories, in the, well, yeah, it kind of looks like this, that we forget about the individual. And when we do that, when we forget this individual person whom God loves, terrible things can happen. It happened this morning when in Sri Lanka, Christian churches were bombed and hundreds were dead. It's easy to raise arms against an ideal or an idea. It's easy to say, well, Muslims are all bad, or Jews are all bad, or Christians are just evil, and so we will do battle against Christians. It is much, much harder to look into the eye of your brother and sister and say, you must die, you Buddhist. Keep that in mind for later. So let's stop thinking of God as a general theological principle, but as one who has announced love for all of you and all of the yous that are around in the world, be they Muslim or Jew, Christian or Buddhist, or fill in whatever you want, even if you are a not believer. God has looked into your eyes and said, I love you and you are mine. So that we can be love for the world. Because we have been freed on this Easter day by the proclamation of the love of God, we can now pour ourselves out for the poor and the hungry and those who are unlike us. We can stand up for just actions in our government and in our economy and in our world. The women came down that morning, found the tomb empty, and it was such a surprise for them. I pray that it will once again be a surprise for us. That we will be amazed that God has been risen from the dead so that the love of God may be you in the world. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.